Jenkins.
Welcome to a Saturday night in Los Angeles, and on Saturday nights in L.A., that means that most of you are right here with us. On this little excursion into a different world, most of you don't know. And tonight, we'll talk about the sparkling, spangling world of the Amazing Festival. So stay with me. Now, when we talk about crystals on Open Mind, we have to go to the master. We certainly do. The man who's been working with crystals, he's brought a number of them here with him tonight. Where's your pyramid? Oh, we have the pyramid right there. Our guest tonight is Dale Walker, who has... What, this is the third time for you, Dale? Third time. And with him is Ho, who is very active here in Los Angeles. Ho, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Heidi Ho Enterprises out in North Hollywood. Where you'll find crystals galore out there. The crystal. The amazing crystal. They are amazing and to me. First of all, you are listening to me tonight. Because a crystal is at work. Anytime you listen to the radio, I suppose, there's a crystal at work. Or watch television, there's a crystal at work. If you were at my home, you find I run my refrigerator almost off because there's a crystal at work on the inside of it. If you jumped into my spa, you would find that there's never been any chlorine in that thing in about 3 years, and it's crystal clear. Isn't that amazing? Crystals are wonderful. Of course, there's a very mystic quality about crystals, and perhaps there's a lot of mysticism built around them, but these are living creatures, these crystals.
Absolutely.
The astronauts aboard the shuttle, and we certainly... pause for just a moment about the tragedy of last Tuesday. But I think it was in the last experiment, the last shuttle flight they went up. They went up to grow crystals.
Grow crystals in a total, clear, non-gravity environment.
There you go. We were just doing some engineering.
I didn't have the mic on.
Crystals.
I've been saying all these wonderful things to people. They didn't know I was here.
No, you have to hit buttons.
The marvelous thing about growing crystals in the particular environment they had was the fact that they're out of the influence of the pressures of the Earth, and they can grow them in the most perfect type of environment, which creates a different kind of crystal. You've got to understand that the crystals that are grown in the Earth are Earth crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Those are space crystals. They're not the same thing at all.
Right.
They are different. They're still quartz. But the knowledge, the information, the energies are entirely different. And I would be utterly fascinated to get a hold of a couple of space crystals and play with them.
Well, crystals have so many intriguing properties, and we want to try to separate some of the mysticism from fact here tonight if we can, because quite a mystique has grown up about them. We know from a point of physics that they are amplifiers.
That's correct.
They are amazing amplifiers. Which is the reason that algae and microbes do not grow in my spa. They do incredible things to the environment around them. And if you charge them with an electromagnetic force, they then take on a whole new characteristic and do a whole new set of things. If you charge them with the force of your own being, your own life force, if you will, they again respond to that and do things for you. If you place them around plants, plants respond in a very positive way to them. They are our friends, crystals.
And in ancient times, this was known. See, there's nothing new about crystals or the use of crystals. In ancient times, there was really nowhere near the emphasis that we have on jewelry today.
Mm-hmm.
When they created stones... they created them for very specific purposes. And the fact that they were beautiful, of course, those who had the richest, most money, got the prettiest stones. But the stones were not made for just ornament.
The important stones on the raiment of the old priest of Egypt and all of those ancient cultures were not
also,
the diamonds and the rubies and the other things that they could have had. They were the quartz crystals.
Those were the most important. As a matter of fact, what most people don't realize is when they mentioned, for instance, in the breastplate of Aaron, the high priest of the Hebrew religion, he had stones. Not only did he have a breastplate, which is solid gold and had 12 different stones on it, what they don't realize is he also had a girdle a kind of like a cummerbund around his waist, which also had stones on it. And he had stones in the back, a reverse tie,
mm-hmm.
similar to the type of thing that you have in choirs. You know, this is a long...
Mm-hmm.
And stones were on the back there, and each of those stones were specifically spaced in a place on his body, which created special energy fields. This knowledge is very, very old, and was reserved specifically for the students of the mystery schools. It was not known to the general public because it was magic.
Well, we've done some magical things on this show, Dale, with crystals.
Yes.
With Dr. Marcel Vogel, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Marcel sitting at his home in San Jose one night, holding the crystal in his hand, was able to get thousands of people in our audience to bend spoons.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of people in the audience to clear up their nasal passages. We kind of did a little bit of healing there one night. I think everybody smelled the apple and the rose that he asked us to smell because he was transmitting that energy.
Yes.
In a way. Now, that may sound a little bit bizarre to those of you who have never listened to Open Mind.
Or experienced it.
Or experienced it. But I sat here and smelled the apples and the bananas, and I didn't bend the spoon, but Milton is sitting here. I watched the spoon bend in his hand, and well, I can't go out of body, and I guess I can bend spoons either, but everybody was.
You walked on coals. I haven't done that
Well,
yet.
I did do that, yes. And they were over 2,000 degrees. You know, that's good stuff.
That's not bad.
That's good stuff. Dale.
Yes.
Why are you here? Why are we talking to you about crystals tonight? Can you give us a thumbnail sketch of yourself and why I can tell this group that this gentleman is someone to listen to when it comes to crystals?
I started working with crystals 11 years ago, and people have asked me, how did you get into crystals? And I tell them I beat the heck out of me.
Okay.
I achieved what some people would call a spiritual awakening. But it was no great blast with trumpets and spotlights and all this. I just simply woke up a little over 11 years ago, and it was on my birthday. And I said, I'm tired of reading books. I want to go out and do it. And I had been interested in things of the mind, things of parapsychology, emotions. All these were utterly fascinated to me. And from that moment on, within 6 months, I had a crystal and was using for healing. Within a year, I was involved in a research group that sat for 2.5 years, channeling information about crystals, which we put into actual practice. We actually made it work. And within 2 years, I was traveling on the road teaching people how to use crystals. And I was the only one at that time who was actually doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Marcel, when I met him and talked to him roughly that period of time, was doing a lot of research with channeling groups, teaching people, using crystals to teach people how to channel, become mediums.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get information. Oshina, who's a lovely lady who works with Native American techniques and is fairly popular with that, she had a tradition of crystals all her life, but had not been teaching them. She hadn't gotten the message that she was supposed to do this. And actually, I was the only one at the time who was out there waving rocks at people.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to say some very unkind things. You got rocks in your head too, fella. And but I think the meanest thing though was my daughter. I mean, she introduced me to her girlfriend. She's a teenager at the time.
The prophet is without honor in his own hometown. You know that.
Who is it? Says Rodney. Says I don't get no respect. She used to introduce me as my dad, the rock star.
Mm-hmm.
And they would keep asking me all these questions about, oh yeah, man, what's the name of your group?
Yeah.
So I kind of got out of that. But I began to remember things. I began to know something. Somebody say something, I say, oh, yeah, well, do this, this, this. And all of a sudden, a remarkable event would occur. I would look at that and I'd say, how did I do that? How did I know to do that? And then I began to collect all of the things together because I have a mind that wants to know why.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to know the pattern of things. It wants to know why this works, why this works, why this doesn't work. And so my search has been twofold. One, to bring out as much information as I possibly can. Well, it's threefold. Two is to take that information and make it practical, make it usable. Because let me tell you, if you can't use it, what good is it? It just sits there and perks.
That's like trying to fix something that's working, isn't it?
Well, it's useless.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stuffs more stuff in your head. You've got too much in the head anyway. You need to be able to use things. My feeling. And the other one was, I wanted to know, what are the principles behind this? In my world, there is nothing that isn't natural. Nothing that doesn't follow law. We may not know what that law is. We talked about Marcel broadcasting thought forms. Now, we know exactly how to do thought forms. Thought form is a picture that you build up in your mind powered by emotions. You broadcast according to whatever you desire to do. Now, he used the radio as a means of broadcasting. It was a very good way to broadcast thought forms because it moves on electromagnetic force waves. We've done a lot of experiments with this particular type of thing. The crystal serves as an amplifier for all levels of energy, including thought. And this seems to be amazing to scientists, which I think is kind of funny. I don't know of a scientist yet that won't admit they think, but none of them will say they know what thought is.
Mm-hmm.
But they use it all the time. How can they use something all the time that they don't know anything about? And then get a little upset at me because I go ahead and do things and they say, well, you can't do that until you take it in a lab. And I say, well, where's your experiments with thoughts? Where's your experiments with emotions? Yet you use both and you don't have any problem with that. Well, I can create phenomena. And I now know, or at least I have a very good idea of what's behind all that and how it ties together. I have a pretty good map in my head.
Do you want to travel us down that map some here tonight?
Well, let's take a very simple thing. One of the things I've always been fascinated by is the process that some people call healing. How does the body heal itself? Now, in modern medicine, they look upon the body as a physical thing which they have to patch up. Modern doctors today are patchers. They have to be that way. They're set up in a position where people come to them and they have to have a quick fix now.
Patchers or cutters or pill givers.
Well, but you see, that's a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they have to do. They have people who come in and they got to do something now. The people don't come to them when they first start to have a little ache or a little cough or a little, they're not feeling too good. They don't come to them then. They also don't go to a doctor and say, give me a maintenance program so I don't get sick. They come to them when they're just one foot on the grave and the other slippery. The doctor has to do a quick fix. Quickest fix is chemicals or surgery. Maybe they'll try some of the alternative methods, but not very much. Those two are really it. Well, we look upon, and I have, always looked upon healing as a different thing. I've always seen healing as energy because I understood very clearly that pain is a signal from the cells that say that there's something blocking the energy going to the cells. If the cells had the energy, there'd be no problem because they would repair themselves. They do that automatically. That's the process is built into the human energy system. But if something blocks the energy, a signal is sent out, and the major signal, the strongest signal of all, is called pain. Now, it's asking for energy. The type of energy it's asking for is bioenergy, the energy that feeds the living cells. That particular energy happens to be present in every living thing. Everything. Animals, plants, people, and crystals. Now, a little verification of this. I wonder how many people out in the audience have been sick and found that their animal, their cat or their dog, came up and laid beside them or snuggled up to them. And how many of them noticed they felt a little better? Animals know instinctively, and they instinctively want to help you. If you had really had some knowledge and understanding, you could have realized you could have gone over and taken your houseplant and held your houseplant and touched it up against your body, and you'd start feeling better. As a matter of fact, for all you overstressed people out there, one of our researches is that take a houseplant to work with you. Whenever you start feeling a little bit stressed, reach over and simply touch the plant for about 5 minutes. You can even hold the plant while you're talking to people, doing your work. You'll find immediately that there is a reduction in the adrenal stress in your body. What do we know about pain? We know that if we can get the energy to the pain, to the area, the pain shuts off because, after all, it's just a signal from the cells. If we feed the cells the energy, then the cells will stop asking for energy because now they start the repair process. And we found also that crystals increase the energy field of the human body, period. There's absolutely no doubt about that. We have photographed it. We have measured blood chemistry changes. We have measured it with a galvanometer skin response meter to measure the meridian points on the body for the conductivity. of that point on the body, and invariably every single time we have a vast increase. We use dowsing devices, and we can show exactly the extent and the range of that movement. So we now know that we can do it. I can show and demonstrate every single time how this works. Because the crystal amplifies energy, if you place that amplified energy by either placing a crystal on the pain area or you're holding the crystal in one hand, placing the other hand on the area, within a period of time that we've determined to be somewhere between 15 to 30 minutes, you have a 97% probability you'll reduce or eliminate the pain. And that's you doing it. That's not us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not practicing medicine, by the way. I want you to know that. I don't practice medicine. I'm not a doctor. This is giving the body the energy it needs to do its own healing process.
Now, if you were practicing medicine, what you would do is try to shut off the signals from the cells so that you didn't experience the pain, but do nothing for the cells who are sending the signals in the first place. Well, just cut off its communication.
It's even worse, because what's the purpose of the communication? Why is the cell crying out? The cry is pain.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the normal method of stopping the pain is a painkiller. Take a pill. The painkiller masses, or as you said, disrupts the signal from the cell to the brain. So you don't hurt because you're not getting a signal called pain.
But you're not getting healed either.
Well, it's even worse. There is a call for help. There is no response because you don't know anything's happening. Your mind, brain, computer doesn't know there's anything wrong because it doesn't get the signal. If it can't get the signal, it won't respond. If it doesn't respond, guess what happens to your poor cells? They get worse. And this is why you take painkillers, you have what is known as a debilitating disease, which means it keeps getting worse and worse. Arthritis is a prime one for that one. Now, you know that it progressively gets worse. Why should it progressively get worse? Why doesn't modern medicine really take on to that? There are millions and millions of dollars that are spent for research into arthritis right now. Millions looking for the perfect drug. Well, maybe it isn't a drug. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's learning to cleanse the body. Maybe it's learning to tell the computer of the mind that there's a problem in a certain area of the body and telling the computer of the mind to repair that problem. After all, it created the problem. We have a computer mind which creates the physical body. And when it gets certain data, whatever that data is, it creates the physical. It creates pain. It creates disability.
We are what we think.
Oh, absolutely. More than that. And more specifically, not only what we think, but what we feel.
Mm-hmm.
We are much more what we feel than what we think. Feelings are the power. That's the key to the universe. And all the metaphysicians know that. Now, what's interesting about it is crystals help us to focus emotion. I teach classes on how to control your emotions. I mean really control that energy so that other people cannot affect you emotionally. They can't knock you off balance. You're always in balance. You're always stable. Not only that, but you can take that energy, you can shape it, you can create a thought form, you can fire it out into the universe and create anything you want. It's called manifestation. And believe me, people, it's real.
Does work.
Oh, boy, does it ever.
Well, maybe we have kind of provoked the interest of a few people along the way that may be with us here tonight. We want to take a little break. And let me give you the numbers. An opportunity for you to talk to Dale Walker, who really is one of the nation's top researchers into the crystal. You can talk to him. Ho is here, who is certainly a practitioner and very knowledgeable about it, who is always here in the Los Angeles area. He's located out in San Fernando Valley. Talk to Ho, too. About the crystal, if you will. In Los Angeles, the number of crystals and Ho. Dale is just feeding me some charged crystal water. Oh, now we're talking good water here.
We've had some.
This is quite a great deal like the desal water that we use exclusively at home.
You know, the thing about it is, it's all the same. Except crystals seem to do something else. But I've experimented with pyramids. I've experimented with desals. I've experimented with Pat Flanagan's special little crystal
salts. Yes, his water is delightful.
Crystal water. And I've Willard water, I tried that, and I've tried practically everything I can. But I found that the crystal water is consistently the easiest to work with, the cheapest, by all means. You can buy some of this water. You buy a little pint of it, and it costs you a mint.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of crystals will charge you water forever.
Well, that's true. You just put the crystals in and let them run.
That's right. And
same
you
way
keep,
with the D-cell. That's
the beauty of it. Now, except the D-cells eventually do. Within about a year, you usually have to replace them because they're a living entity. They're created in a very special manner. So actually, it's an alchemic process that creates those things.
Yes, it is.
Very strange. We talking strange how they made those things. You know, where'd that business come from? This whole field of energy is getting into some realms that are driving physicists crazy.
Yeah, they don't understand how you can take a crystal or a D-cell and put slime water from a swamp in it, and a few hours later it's crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't understand that. Or you can put one of those little cells down into a glass container of seawater, and in 18 hours you've got crystal clear water.
That's right.
Charged and perfect.
That's right. Well, we've done exactly the same thing with crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And are finding rather phenomenal effects. Now, one of the major problems that we find, you know, my God, we're going to talk about water again. Water is a major concern in this area.
It should be. Yeah, we can't live without it very much.
Yes, and I think that anybody who is drinking water out of the tap has a death wish. It's got to be the most polluted thing I've seen in a long time, if not by...
With all deference to our friends at the Department of Water.
Listen, they do the best they can. And I'm not knocking anybody who is furnishing water to this city.
Yeah, for furnishing water to a city this size, with the requirements of water that it has...
They do a hell of a job, pardon my French.
And we live in a desert.
Yes.
They do one dandy job.
Yes, and...
But no cigar.
And... I won't give them a total cigar because the only thing they know how to do is to put chlorine in the water, perhaps a little algistat. But chlorine is a biggie. Now, they don't really know what chlorine does to the human system. But we drink gallons of the stuff all the time. I don't like chemicals in the water. I don't like it. What we found with a crystal in a glass of water, within 10 to 15 minutes, the chlorine taste is gone. And the smell of chlorine is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, just like that. Well, overnight... It creates a tremendous change in the taste of your water.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, we have measured the energy changes that take place in the body when you drink it. Also, we've done a lot of experiments with animals. Now, I really like working with animals because they're not as suggestible as human beings are.
Mm-hmm.
Something either works for an animal or it doesn't. What we found is that when we use crystal charged water for an animal for a couple of weeks, and then we give them a saucer of water... of one crystal charged, the other not crystal charged, they'll sniff the one and they drink the crystal charged water every single time. Every time we've tried this, the animal instinctively goes to the crystal charged water. And the same thing is true with food, and we charge all the food that our animals eat.
Well, I charge everything in the refrigerator with crystals.
Yeah. Yeah, you rascal. You enjoy that, didn't you?
Oh, listen, I keep that thing almost turned off. And I love it. It's one of those...
Well, you know, this is a funny thing. I've done this a dozen times. And I think I mentioned the last time I was here that when I did this in a radio show in Berkeley, California, the individual there, was a very erudite and a very intelligent individual. He loved the show, but he said, Dale, I just got to pick a bone with you. I'm not buying that crystal in the refrigerator bit. That's just a joke, isn't it? I said, well, no, it's not. It was my experience. And he teased me about it a little bit. I get a little bit, that's all right. I went out to my car. I picked out a nice little amethyst cluster, and without him seeing me, I went to his refrigerator. And he has a nice big garden in the back. He's quite a vegetarian. And I kind of snuck it underneath some of his vegetables. Didn't say a word to him. 2 days later, 2:00 in the morning, I get a call. And I said, you know, I'm just barely awake, just barely alive even at that time. I answered the phone. I said, yeah, what is it? And his voice says, this is Will. I said, Will who? He said, well, Will Nofsky. What I want to know is, what are you going to do about all my vegetables? They're frozen. And I fell out of bed. I was laughing so hard, I fell out of bed. I got back, finally got back on the phone, tears running down my face. And I said, but Will, you don't believe in that, remember? And he had to admit. And he still has that cluster in his refrigerator. It works. Now, why? I don't know. But let me tell you another little story.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when you were here last, you told me about putting in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Indeed, you gave me a little crystal. You always have a pocket full. You and Gail.
Isn't she sweetie?
Yeah, she's lovely. So I... beautifully took the crystal home, stuck it in a refrigerator. That was like early Sunday morning before I got home. Because, as I recall, we went out and talked all night long, which quite often happens after the show. The best show is over at Denny's.
Absolutely.
And stuck it in there about 2 or 2.30 in the morning and forgot about it until I went in Sunday afternoon to get one of my beloved bottles of beer.
Yes.
And guess
what? Was that a cold bottle of beer?
No, no. It had already busted the top out of it and it was frozen. And the veggies were ruined, and I was going to send you a bill. But we overcame that. We just almost turned it off, and that's the way it's been ever since.
Now let me add a couple little anecdotes to go with that. My daughter used to live with me before she had married, and she came back, and she first thing she does when she comes home, she kind of does a little cleanup because she knows Daddy's a bachelor, and you know how bachelors are anyway. She thinks it's one up from...
I haven't been one since I was 20, so I don't...
Well, the girls know. But anyway, she goes in there and she cleans out my refrigerator. She always does this because she resents the fact that some things inside it start moving around when she looks at them. But when she did so, she was back before I put crystals in the refrigerator. She automatically adjusted the refrigerator back to the old setting it used to be, and I had a quarter of an inch of ice on my corn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anecdote number two. I went to and did a show with an old friend of yours. Hillary St. Charles.
Oh, yeah.
He was down in Aptos, a little radio station. And he told me a story about one of my students who gave him a little cluster and said, put it in your refrigerator. Now, the only problem was he lives in a trailer and he has a propane refrigerator. And it's not a plug-in electric, you see. And he was told, my friend told him to note temperature changes inside. He said, no change in the temperature, but he used 30% less propane.
Hmm.
Now, you figure that one out.
Well, it was a radical change in the temperature of my refrigerator.
Yeah, I would say so. When your beer has a little ice cube sticking out the top.
Would have popped off the top, and it was kind of sticking out. Well, let's go to our callers and see what's on their mind. Myrna, welcome aboard.
Hello, how are you?
All right.
I have a question for Dale.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Myrna.
I received two tiny crystals from someone who had spent time in a great pyramid in Egypt with these crystals.
Yes, I know the lady.
Okay.
We're talking about Gail, right?
No, she's talking about Lavendar.
Oh.
No,
it's a different lady.
Well, neither one of us know the lady. Okay, go ahead.
Maybe I do, but
and
never mind.
She sent this tiny crystal to me and said that it was from the Great Pyramid. Now, mm-hmm. if there's any positive energy there because of the pyramid... I know going to one of your weekend seminars, you said that you are to take crystals given as gifts and put them in sea salt, which I don't know whether I should do because what effect will that have on any positive energy from the pyramid?
Well, when I mentioned this before, when I first did it, and when I put it listed in my book, my intention was those who have had no training, who don't understand anything about crystals, I want to be absolutely sure that nothing happens to them. Because of any negative emotion, someone who touched it might leave in the crystal. And therefore, I suggest you put it in salt because that drains the energy out below the point where it can actually affect you adversely. However, if you want to keep the energy into it, I suggest that you simply touch the stone and do the light invocation three times. That completely clears any negative emotional thought form left inside the crystal, no matter who left it in there.
Oh. Okay.
Now, let me give you that over the air real quick. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's out there, by the way, for you people who are out there, I suggest you, at the next break, you get a pad and you get a pencil because we've got a lot of information for you, places we're going to be and all this good stuff. So you need to be able to take this information down. The light invocation goes as such. I invoke the light of the Christ within. I am a clear and perfect channel. Light is my guide. Simple?
Yes, I remember it.
Okay. Do it three times.
While
touching the crystal. We have done experiments with this. In fact, we'll talk about this on the radio just a little bit after you sign off. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about some of the experiments we've done showing that we actually do eliminate negative emotions by this thought, this particular invocation.
Now, that invocation really is just a matter of focusing your own energy. You're not doing anything mystic here, but you're channeling your own self, I think.
I don't know, Bill. Now, I have to be honest. I'm the least mystic of all people. I do my darndest to demystify everything.
Mm-hmm.
or demysticize everything. But I don't know about that invocation. That's something special. There is something happening because, now we use, for instance, the word the Christ. I've done this with people of every religion, especially Jewish people, Muslims, Indian, Hindus. And it makes absolutely no difference what their religion is. There is a tremendous energy change that takes place in the body. We even use this invocation.